Welcome
to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spech.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Going fantastic.
It's beginning to look a lot like spring.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
How much rain have we had?
How much snow have they had up north?
No, I'm not talking about up north. I don't care about them.
Was it 10 to 15 centimeters? Sudbury and locales just had earlier this week and over the weekend. Over the weekend, it was pretty cold.
And it was windy here this weekend.
Yeah, I was downtown Toronto and it was pretty chilly.
You go to a Jays game?
I did.
Yeah, did they win?
No.
Then stop going to the Jays games because apparently it's you.
The game started off pretty bad. They had to pull. Well, they pulled the pitch, pulled the pitcher who was in for like 1.2 innings, and replaced him. And that guy let in like 5 runs, and it's like they pulled him and sent him down to AAA. It's like you're not ready, buddy.
Yeah. You know it's bad. You. Go through the locker room to your car.
There's a bus waiting for you out that side door.
Just keep on going. Don't bother getting changed.
You got to feel bad for the guy. He's only been in the big leagues for a short time, but now he's gone. Ah. And then there's the guy who replaced him came in and got his first ever strikeout in the big leagues. And then went on to match a franchise record for strikeouts, 8 strikeouts for his first big league game.
Really?
Hmm.
Excellent.
Hmm. So he made up the difference.
Yeah.
But the Jays lost. Couldn't. Yeah, they couldn't catch up. They weren't hitting. They just weren't hitting.
It was. You're more into baseball than hockey, aren't you?
I'm not into any sport really. I just like to go. I'd go to hockey games if it wasn't so darn expensive.
Yeah. Well. The playoffs are on right now, too. Toronto's actually doing fairly well so far, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Only because my team's out.
So. I keep hearing a lot of people talk about, this is the year. It's like, I don't know.
That's been that since, like, 1968.
So, yeah.
This year. Yeah. This is our year. This is our year. This is our year. Okay, calm down, great-great-grandpa.
Yeah.
Oh, gotta like it.
Well, you know how people analyze stats. Well, they're pulling up all these stats. Well, you know, the last time Toronto won the Stanley Cup is like what Boston and somebody else never made it into the playoffs, and they're not making it this year. So, this is a sign. The writing is on the wall that they're going to make it because these two teams aren't in. It's like, really? Is that how it works?
And because somebody is in their living room standing on one foot with an arm raised above their head while spinning slowly in a circle and chanting, Mary had a little lamb.
It's going to happen.
That's a clear sign.
Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily dislike the Leafs. I don't like
It's not so much the Leafs as it's the fans.
It's totally the fans. They're the worst.
That's why I don't live in Toronto. every team has their people, right?
Yep, exactly.
So just getting ready to do some paddling and stuff. Can't wait to get out on the water.
You haven't been out yet?
No, I threw my back out almost a month
ago. Oh, yeah.
And now it's the back is okay.
Yeah.
But it's just gone into the hips.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know what that is? It's
age.
Well, see, back in the day, lifespan was like, if people would die at like 30, 35 years old, that was the lifespan. That was it. Now, it's just your body telling you it's time to go.
Right?
It's time to go. You're old.
You're in your 50s. You should have died 20 years ago. Dude, pack it in.
You are long overdue. Humans just don't live this long.
Look on the bottom of your foot. It's their best before date. It was 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I just got some sore hips there, but working all that out. So going to get out on the water, start some paddling, and can't wait.
And you can get out. You got a dry suit.
I got the dry suit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll just go stand by the river in my dry suit.
Just go stand there. In the river.
Right? Just go stand there. Where's your boat? I haven't decided yet where I'm going to go.
I'm extra inflated today. I am a boat.
Start a new Instagram account. Just standing in places in my dry suit.
Yes, exactly.
During the winter and all that. All this ice going by and I'm just standing there up to my waist in my dry
Alan
suit.
Well, Alan always posts, I'm on a boat. Yeah. Doesn't matter where he goes. I'm on a boat. You could start posting, I am a boat.
I am a boat. Or if he's downtown paddling or something, he's wearing a hat, yeah. He always positions a picture.
The CN Tower.
So the CN Tower is coming out the top of his head. Hey, we've all got to do something, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Do you watch the Olympics?
I do. I don't watch a lot of hockey. When Siobhan watches it, I watch hockey. I'll watch baseball, but I'm not that into sports, but I love the big competitions. I love the, you know, any finals. Like the Olympics are, I watch the Olympic. I find it very interesting.
I do a lot of watching the medal games.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like not all the...
And it's not the professionals. Yeah. It's people amateurs. Who have spent so far their whole life trying to get to a certain mm-hmm. level to compete.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no, but I won't watch, okay, today's the first seven heats of this, and tomorrow's the next seven heats, and then the gold medal day. Okay, see you in 3 days.
Yeah. there's a few people you'll watch from start to finish just because they're so interesting. Like the, I think he's from, was it the turkey guy? He didn't even wear...
Oh, the shooting guy.
The shooting guy. He never
putting
even wore...
his hand in
he's just
his pocket.
Casually there. It's like, I've seen mock-ups of him and like with AI with the smoke hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah,
blinking
is he
away
really
and
a hitman?
Yeah, he's a hitman.
They actually had somebody on and described how just putting his hand in his pocket...
Stabilized him.
It turned his body a certain way so that it wouldn't move out of... And everything was straight. There is an actual reason that he does it. And they say it's realistically, it's a genius thing that he's doing.
I thought he was just playing with change in his pocket or something.
Well, that would have been me. Here's a quarter. I got enough for a Coke. there's enough in there for a donut. Oh, yeah, I got to shoot, too.
Yeah, but there's usually somebody each game, like, you know, Eddie the Eagle back in 88.
Oh, Eddie the Eagle Edwards.
And so every year there's always somebody
that Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see who's, what's coming up next.
Well, even the surfer guy, they took the picture of him. Standing straight up and down.
Oh, flying off his
board. But he's standing straight.
But it looked,
like he's in,
looks
just
like
hanging
it was
in
edited.
Midair.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But it wasn't. It was a real photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah.
Mm. Sorry, a couple of years from now.
Well, the Olympics.
No, yeah.
Olympic, the summers are in 2028.
Yeah.
2026 is the winters, right?
Yeah.
We had just had summers 2024.
Yeah, because remember they used to always be like 4 years was one, then 4 years was the next.
And now it's every 2 years.
Now it's every
staggered.
2 years, yeah. I always forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 2028, the LA Olympics are in LA.
Is that where LA Olympics are going to be?
That's where they're going to be. The Olympics are going to be in LA in 2028.
They should have said something.
I wish they would have. The IOC has confirmed that canoeing will feature 16 medal events with full gender parity, the same event lineup as the Paris and designated venues in Long Beach and Oklahoma City.
What?
Yeah. International Olympic Committee, the IOC, has approved the program proposed by the Olympic Program Commission, confirming the 16 events in canoe sprint and canoe slalom, including the return of kayak cross, the crowd-pleasing new addition that made big impression last year. The International Canoe Federation welcomed the IOC Executive Board's decision, which not only secures the current program but also strengthens canoeing's position as one of six sports with the highest number of medal events at the games. A total of 318 athlete quota spaces will be available. I never figured out how they do the quota thingies. I figured they had all these sports. Countries can send however many players for each. But that's too much for my brain to bother with. 236 for the sprint and 82 for the slalom, split equally between men and women. They're delighted that the IOC has reaffirmed canoeing's place in the games with an attractive and balanced program. The ICF says in a statement, highlighting the continued commitment to gender parity in both the event schedule and athlete quotas, 8 events per gender and an equal distribution of spots, 118 per gender in sprint and 41 in slalom. Long Beach's Marine Stadium, located approximately 35 kilometers south of downtown Los Angeles, so that's not really bad.
Yeah.
It's about a half-hour drive, right? Will host the canoe sprint events, including the traditional canoe and kayak races in single, doubles, and four-boat formats. Men will compete in C1, 1000, C2, 500, K1, 1000, K2, 500, and K4, 500, while the women will compete in C1, 200, C2 500, K1 500, K2 500, and K4 500. Canoe slalom, meanwhile, will be held at the Whitewater Center in Oklahoma City, more than 2,000 kilometers from the core cluster of the Olympic venues in California.
It's weird, eh?
That's going to be a heck of a commute. Okay, today we're doing the opening ceremonies where we all walk in with our country, and then we got a hightail it 20 hours away. The facility is gearing up to once again host thrilling obstacle course racing with C1 K1 events for both men and women, as well as a high-intensity kayak cross events. After a successful debut in Paris, kayak cross will return to challenge paddlers with its fast-paced, contact-based knockout format.
Ever seen kayak polo?
Yes, we've seen kayak polo.
So it's not going to be at the Olympics, but it's a world event.
It should be at the Olympics, though.
It looks.
I mean, if they're allowing kayak cross,
yeah.
A full on contact sport,
it's contact based.
Yeah. Well, you can call it based if you want, but it's full on contact. Hey, look at that. Kayak to the face. Yeah. They should allow canoe polo.
Kayak polo.
Yeah.
It looks a little dangerous, but it's fun to watch.
Right? I'd be betting on it. The energy generated by kayak cross in Paris was unparalleled, and its return for LA 28 is a testament to its global impact. Because everybody was waiting for blood violence. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Not all the news was positive, however. The 5,000-meter sprint, a traditional long-distance event proposed by the ICF and widely anticipated, not included in the LA 28 program.
Hmm.
Nevertheless, the Federation stuck a hopeful note. Although it wasn't possible this time, we will continue to work to ensure that events such as the 5 kilometer continue to grow at World Cups and World Championships. So if they have all that interest and participation at the lower levels, then eventually it's got to make its way
back.
Maybe
they didn't have the space for a 5K. But you can't turn. It has to be straight course.
You think there's not enough space in Oklahoma?
Not with any curves in the river.
Well, what about, the ocean? Just do it out in the ocean. I mean, you're in L.A.
You can't guarantee the weather.
Call it a challenge.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
It's the Challenge 5K Sprint. You never know what you're going to get.
Canoe tug of war.
Call it the Forrest Gump Sprint Challenge.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get. Some days you're getting wind. Some days you're getting nice glass. You get what you get. See who comes out on top. Los Angeles 2028 program builds on the momentum of Paris and reflects the ICF's broader Fit for Future Evolution strategy, initiative to drive innovation and increase the global visibility of paddle sports. With one eye already on Brisbane 2032, Federation confirmed that it will remain in close dialogue with the IOC to further strengthen canoeing's Olympic presence in the years to come.
Huh.
You know what having it in Los Angeles, though, means?
What?
We're not up in the middle of the night to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Not like when it's on the other side of the planet.
That might be early in the morning. No.
We can watch stuff like this at... Because they're, 5 hours ahead?
5 hours behind.
Behind. Yeah. So when we get home from work, we're watching.
Yeah, we'll be watching it.
All this stuff. So in our evenings will be.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Sports.
Yeah.
Not like 3 in the morning. What's happening? Oh, this is live? Yeah.
This was live
this
yesterday.
This was live yesterday, yeah. Ah, and with spring comes hope for a good rafting season.
It was a big snow winter. Like, there's a lot of snow in the mountains and stuff.
Everywhere.
This is what they're, yeah, this is, it can be both good and bad, depending on conditions and
our
skill
snow
levels.
Here down in southern Ontario, like where we are, Toronto area, always seems to wait till about January. We get a couple big storms and then...
Yeah, we have it late in the year. It doesn't really build up. We had some wicked snowstorms this winter. A couple that kind of took out Gravenhurst and Barrie and stuff. But it was in a band. It was like what kind of poured out across Huron and into Georgia Bay and then across.
Yeah.
And so certain people, like, you know what Gravenhurst got flooded because of all the rain just a week or two ago. And so there's... It's weird weather. It's weird weather.
Everywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's getting weird.
Yeah. There's no predicting it anymore.
Yeah. Well, did I not say we'd have great weather up until the end of November? And then at the end of November, boonk, it turned crappy?
Sure, your memory is 2020.
Yeah.
I said the same thing.
It's 2023. Healthy snowpack this spring may portend robust whitewater this season. Rafters can expect a big start to the season with plenty of water and big waves, says Hardy Bender, development and events manager at the Idaho Rafters and Guides Association. However, despite prime conditions, economic uncertainty has meant that bookings are lower among outfitters.
Oh.
And there's a whole political thing about that, which we're not even going to get into.
No. But there is also, like, for that, there is, economically, there's a lot of less people doing vacations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can see that. I can see that coming about.
Bender stood in front of the Boise River Wave at Esther Simplot Park on last Tuesday, to provide reporters with what whitewater season outlook. Unlike the river that was behind him, which is dam controlled, most Idaho's rivers rely on melting snowpack to determine their flow, which tends to mean big water as that snow starts melting in the spring. A large reserve in the basins and that feed the rivers also can mean a longer season. So the longer, more water you can hold back to keep it up. The Clearwater River Basin, which feeds the Lasha and Selway Rivers, is more than 95% of average snowpack. The Payette Basin is nearly 130% of average. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
North Fork of the Payette offers advanced rapids for more expert paddlers, while the main Payette is more family-friendly. Banner Summit Snowpack, which feeds the headwaters of the Middle Fork of the Salmon, is sitting at its 30-year average. The Middle Fork section allows boaters to travel through the heart of the Frank Church, a river of no return wilderness.
That's an ominous name.
Right? Well, we're at the point of no return. See ya, suckers.
Who named it that?
Yeah. Like, I would like to have that job. Just naming stuff. Well, I'm going to name this one. Temperatures around the state this spring are also contributing to more ideal start, with the warmer weather melting the snow, but it's not so hot that too much melts at once. Last year saw a decent snowpack, and I remember talking about that. And the guys predicted a typical season for 2024, but the northern areas were not as good shape as this year. Clearwater Basin was only at around 70% of its average last year. The Gem State has 3,100 river miles, which, according to Visit Idaho, is more than any other state in the nation. Idaho is also home to one of the longest free-flowing rivers in the lower 48 states, with the 425-mile Salmon River that starts as a trickle in the Sawtooth and White Cloud Mountains and eventually meets the Snake River. That'd be something to do. I think I'm going to start just doing rivers when I retire. I'm going to start here. And then on whatever day, I'll meet you down there so you can pick me up. You do whatever you want.
Okay, yeah.
Between that time. And then you just paddle the river, and then somebody's there to pick you up. And then they'll take you to the next river and drop you off. Okay, I'll see you at the bottom of that river.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Just meet me there on that day.
Go shopping
Go camping. Go do whatever
hiking.
You want. Just as long as you're there to pick me up at the end of the river.
Yeah.
In a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, yeah. A month, 2 months, whatever it takes.
I'm going to hit the water in November, come back sometime in March.
Maybe. But that'd be good to do that. Because it's not going to, I mean, it's not going to cost you oodles and oodles.
Yeah.
Right? That'd be something fun to do. Especially if you can do the 425-mile Salmon River.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Snake River, which flows into Idaho from Wyoming, cuts into Hell's Canyon, the deepest river gorge in North America. Well, that could be the end of the trip right there. Bender argued that the low bookings for rafting and jet boat trips for this point in the year gives Idaho residents a leg up, as they can look to book weekends that would normally be reserved up to a year in advance. The Idaho Outfitters and Guides Association is a statewide nonprofit trade association that can be operating in the state since 1954.
Cool.
More information about the state's whitewater outfitters can be found at raftidaho.org. So you can find out a whole lot more information about rafting and the whitewater outfitters and everything from raftidaho.org. Go check that out. Hopefully, they do have some good season this year. Everybody needs the money nowadays.
With snowpack, here locally, we still have some high water issues, but I think they're planning better. They like one of the main holdups for the Great Lakes system would be some of the canals, but also for Lake Ontario is Saunders Dam. But they dump water early and drop lake levels early to clear things up so that any surprise floods don't really harm us. Because for quite a few years there, we had some pretty high Lake Ontario water levels, like drastically high.
Well, you know what? I like it down where we're paddling because we go up the river.
Yeah.
Keeps those river levels a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Because there's some, on Duffin's Creek here,
yeah,
there's some spots where it gets too low.
Yeah.
Right? And then you got to get out and actually walk and drag your canoe because it's not even polling depth.
Yeah. And I don't know that it ever floods there, does it?
No, because most of it's coming south,
it's just,
right?
But
it's near
south,
the mouth.
But there's no snowpack. There's no drainage release. We don't have flash
floods. But I mean, the spring, it definitely gets a lot higher
in
the spring.
Yeah.
But the mouth tends to flood a bit from the lake.
Correct. Yeah, but when the lake comes up into the mouth, yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice to get it, and it's easier to launch, too, from there.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. We need some bigger lakes around here.
Let's build some.
Let's build some. Boundary Waters. You said you want to go to Boundary Waters 1 year. I thought you were going to go like to Quetico and that this
so
year.
So I would like to do a trip to Quetico, but I'd like to cross over into Boundary Waters.
Yeah, the problem with that is they'd give you back. It's yours now. Keep them.
They currently they are. So was it after COVID in 2022? They were limiting traffic across the border between the two parks. They open it back up again, and they're. I don't know what they're doing. Like the Quetico Park and so on. They're limiting again. If you already have a pass, so if you're an outfitter, if you have a certain number of passes, your passes are still good, but they're not selling new ones. And but what this is people from Boundary Waters go into Quetico because it's very popular. And they're actually there's actually a Canada Customs, two Canada Customs on that laking, on that that route. I can't remember any of the lakes, but you can find them on a map. It pops up, Canada Customs. It's for people crossing over into Quetico. You can drop in and...
For the honest people crossing over.
Exactly. But yeah, you cross over and hit Customs. But they do have anybody who had already bought, previously purchased, passes. And it's the way they were wording it, it sounded like it was season passes and it was outfitters and so on.
So the quota passes and stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that. So those are still valid. They're not canceling passes, but they're not selling new ones. And they're going to reassess in 2026, apparently.
Do you think there's a duty free at those?
No, I doubt it.
Customs? Get some duty free, like worms, fishing lures and, yeah, Coke.
Yeah.
Give me a Coke, man.
Yeah.
Duty free shop.
Yeah.
Going for some,
but these are pretty remote too. So they have a. I was looking at it today, and you could see an aerodrome. Anyways, there's a float plane landing area zone. Large chunk of the lake is reserved for that, so you're not allowed to paddle through it. Type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, that's neat. They're all planned for it, but there's a lot of outfitters out there too.
Yeah.
A raid in Boundary Waters is huge for it. Quetico, not so much. Well, the Americans, that's what they do. They do a lot of fly in and drop people off by canoe and fishing and stuff like that. And so it makes sense that there's
drop you off. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, you've been dropped off before, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. The plane drops you in the middle of a lake. And
then says, see you in 3 weeks over there.
Jump in, I'm going to throw your gear. And it's like, okay. So it's just, and then he flies away. It's like,
Now what?
And now I got to find my way back.
So who's got the dog?
Yes, exactly.
Oops.
Hey, he didn't give us our paddles.
Yeah. Where's Fred?
I think I've done 2 or 3 trips now by float plane. It's really a unique way to do it.
It's so expensive anymore, though.
It is. It does add up. It's I think the most I've ever spent was $1,100 a person.
Yeah, it's, you know what, there's trips I've looked at which, okay, we got 2 weeks or, you know, 10 days or 11 days, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to fly up to there, we'd have no problems making. We could take our
exactly
time getting back to our vehicle,
yeah,
as opposed to having to do some big loop or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you start, okay, well, how much to the plane? And then you start looking at their pricing, and you're, yeah, okay, so we're doing a loop this year.
But you know, it's a unique thing to do it. It's worth a little bit of a splurge to get flown in. You get to be inside a float plane, taking mm-hmm. off and landing, which, you know, it's kind of neat. I went into, what's the Ishpatina Ridge? So we flew into Scarecrow.
Scarecrow South.
Which one is on Ishpatina? What's the name of that lake?
So Catherine, did you fly into?
No. I thought it was Scarecrow.
I thought Scarecrow was south. We went there with your buddies.
There's the lake we landed on had the hiking trail to Ishpatina to the fire tower. Anyways, we flew in. And you fly up this valley, and so initially you're flying above and you're seeing all the lakes and rivers, and then you drop in this wide valley, and you've got trees on both sides of you, and you come into the lake, and it's really neat to come in, and so when he leaves, it's not like you're coming into any populated area, because chances are you're the only one on the lake, so...
Hobart Lake?
It's right on Ishpatina. Where's Ishpatina?
Yeah, we're just looking at maps here now. Look over. Reach. Oh, yeah. Oh. You got your glasses?
I do.
So you can read it?
Obabaka. So, but that's not... That's Maple Mountain, so no, that's not Hobart.
Oh, you're thinking the one... Oh, so it would have been Scarecrow, because Ishpatina, is that the one that's south? Yeah, it would have been way south. That's probably not on that map.
Yeah. keep talking to the people. I'm going to look.
that would be farther south. You're right. I mix the two of them up.
Yeah. So you were looking at Maple Mountain, which is the second highest peak in Ontario.
Yeah.
So Hobart, Upper Lake, and stuff like that. But yeah, it was north of the Solis Lands, which is, this is Lady Evelyn.
Mm-hmm. This is that map doesn't go that far.
Yeah, so it's up north end of this.
Yeah. I'll have to get another map out.
Yeah.
But no, to be able to fly into places like that and spend the, just toss it on the floor there. to be able to spend extra time.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to paddle in. But
so you're not in a rush. You're, you get dropped off. The hindrance is, depending on the size of the group, because I'm usually two canoes, four people.
Mm-hmm.
It's guaranteed two planes because they can only,
one canoe per.
So one canoe per flight. So one canoe, two people. Next flight is one canoe, two people.
Yeah. So they get the money, that's for sure.
Until you get, I think the otters can carry two canoes.
Unless, of course, you got folding canoes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that would work. And that's where if you wanted to do a fly-in and run the Dahani or something, you could do inflatables, although it's not the ideal river for an inflatable, but
right. You
could make it happen. But,
Scarecrow Lake is just south of Ishpatina Ridge.
Yeah, so I had it right.
Yeah. So I mix the two of them up, Maple and Ishpatina. So you can just have fun. If you ever get the chance to do a fly-in trip, though, definitely do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford it.
Absolutely.
I would do it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. That was just awesome to do that.
I would, too. Yeah. No, you did yours into...
Woodland Caribou,
yeah.
Yeah. But, like I say, is they point to a map and say, there's an island, and on that island, there's a cabin, and we will see you there in 3 weeks at 10 a.m.
Gulp.
Okie dokie. And actually, they flew over, like, about 8 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't there.
Oh.
Well, because you said 10.
Yeah.
But we were watching the plane going,
uh-oh.
Is that a...
Is that our plane?
Yeah. So we packed everything up and hightailed it over there. And they said, yeah, they knew they were early, but they thought they'd drop in just in case.
Yeah.
But so then they circled around when it was proper time and we were sitting there waiting. But again, you're sitting there with three canoes and three trips sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like,
yeah.
Yeah. That just sucks. But, and I mean, it's worse if you get, like 4 or 5 canoes, or somebody's doing it by themselves.
Oh yeah,
going solo, then you've got to pay for that.
Yeah, you're
flight.
Paying for the whole thing.
Yeah,
you're not splitting it two ways.
No,
you zoinks.
Anyway, you like seeing waterfalls on your trips, your interior trips.
Who sings that Chasing Waterfalls song?
TLC.
TLC. There you
don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah.
We never prepare for this at all. It's all spontaneous.
Spontaneous. But it's a fact that I knew that song. There's a video out there. I'll just say that.
And I didn't. I knew about it.
I just knew about it. Waterfalls and cascades appear throughout many parts of the Boundary Waters, which is why we were talking about Boundary Waters to begin with.
Ah, yes. There's the segue.
Here's the segue for you. Natural features often found between lakes and rivers add excitement and beauty for paddlers and anglers exploring by canoe. Many portage trails follow these dynamic stretches of moving water. In fact, these waterfalls are a big reason portages exist in the first place. Yeah, because you look at some of these waterfalls and...
You don't want to run them.
You don't want to go over those. Be like a pinball machine.
Oh, be horrible.
Boundary Water spans over 1 million acres of untouched wilderness in northern Minnesota lakes, rivers, and streams that shape the region's rugged terrain. Each year, roughly 150,000 people visit the area, most of them traveling by canoe. I always thought it would be more than that, more people. 150,000 doesn't seem like a lot.
So it's, they say that, and they also say that they're at max capacity at that number.
Yeah.
And they only have so many daily...
That's their quota.
Quota, that's the word. So their daily quota is being met. And so it's because that's all they can handle. Unless you want to put 10 campsites on every island and really then you're just overdoing it.
Yeah.
So, but still, that's a large number of people.
It is.
Even still.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem large.
I know, because you think about
Algonquin and stuff like that.
6 million people visit the Grand Canyon every year, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Although the wilderness contains countless rapids, cascades, and waterfalls, most of them are only accessible by canoe, with some exceptions. Visitors taking an overnight paddle, motor, or hiking trip, or a motorized day trip into the boundary waters from May 1st to September 30th are required to obtain a quota permit through recreation.gov. Walk-in permits may be obtained at any permit issuing station on the entry day or one day prior when available. However, reservations are recommended since there are a limited number of quota permits for each entry point. Self-issued permits are required for all visitors October 1st to April 30th. Those permits are available from kiosks at Boundary Water entry points and Forest Service offices. No reservation required and no recreation fees. So, as you plan your next visit to the Boundary Waters, keep in mind that each group is limited to one permit per trip, with a maximum of 9 people and 4 watercraft. Also, everyone in the group must stay at the same campsite. United States Forest Service Superior Natural Forest has put out a helpful planning guide. Always exercise extreme caution around moving water and never attempt to shoot the rapids. Water levels and temperatures can change quickly. So they've got 8 must-see waterfalls in the Boundary Waters when you're cruising there, which you don't want to be going over.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and so some of them don't look terribly dangerous, but it's a pour over or a lip or a ridge. You're not going to be able to do it easily. And part of you take a high-level experience to run any of these, and for the most part, you're just going to wreck a canoe.
Yep.
They're visually attractive, not canoeing attractive.
Yes. The only thing you want to do with these ones is get your camera out.
Exactly. And I noticed that most of them, well, if you look at a map, and I was doing that today, I was looking at all the entry points, and pretty much any entry point, you're going to be passing through the township of Ely.
Yeah.
So
the first one, Curtain Falls. Situated along the Canadian border, this dramatic waterfall spills across nearly 200 feet of granite. It is characterized by one large drop, multiple chutes, and cascades. It's part of the historic French fur trader route and has been used by Indigenous people who've lived and traveled through the area for thousands of years. Falls can be accessed along canoe routes through a few entry points along the Echo Trail north of Ely. Visitors should note that this is one of the more remote waterfalls in the wilderness and as a result should plan for multiple days to paddle the portage there. Falls are the most dramatic in the spring and early summer when water levels tend to be higher. That tends to be the going thing with all waterfalls.
Yeah, true.
Nearest entry points, Ely. The Moose Portage River, North number 16, Stewart River number 19, and Angleworm Lake number 20. Number 2, the Nina Moose Cascade. This cascade flows through a section of the Nina Moose River just off Echo Trail north of Ely. White pines and willow line the river's edge, and moose have been spotted along the way. Paddlers can reach the area in about a half day's journey, but is best enjoyed as part of an overnight trip. Yeah, why rush it?
Mm-hmm.
The route follows the river at the north end of Nina Moose Lake. Shortly after, Portage Trail leads paddlers right alongside the cascade. Short walk down the trail brings you to the top of the falls, where you can pause and take in the view of the slide, a smooth tongue of water gliding over rock. Depending on water levels, this spot also makes a great lunch break. Nearest entry point, Moose Portage River North, number 16. Number 3, Pipestone Falls. This waterfall flows between dramatic cliffs streaked with sun-colored lichen. It flows in a region rich with history. In the early 1900s, logging camps spread across the area, hauling out timber bound for paper mills. Later, small fishing resorts appeared along the shores of Basswood Lake to the north. Though removed long ago, visitors can still spot traces of both industries. And that's cool going on these trips and seeing stuff like this and finding little historical spots. At the entry point, paddlers head north on Fall Lake don't miss Newton Cascade, located along the first portage, as it also is also another nice stretch of moving water. After paddling through Newton Lake, visitors will take portage into Pipestone Bay, which is part of Basswood Lake. Be sure to pause at the overlook among the pine to take in the lofty view of the falls. Anglers often gather at the base of the falls hoping to catch walleye. This route allows both motorized and non-motorized boats, and the portage trails are wide, gently graded, and easy to navigate. Travel to the falls is about 8 miles round trip and can be done in a day. So it's a nice day trip with some portaging and whatnot. Nearest entry point is Fall Lake number 24. Number four, Lower Basswood Falls. Another unique waterfall along the Minnesota-Canadian border draws visitors with its stunning scenery and nearby campsites. I like that you can, if you're planning to go to the waterfalls, that you can just go camp somewhere and then do a day trip to them. Starting in the 1600s, French fur traders known as voyageurs navigated these waters in large canoes in search of beaver pelts. Long before them, indigenous peoples traveled the same routes for thousands of years. Part of Basswood chain of waterfalls and cascades, Lower Basswood stands out as a large rock that splits the falls. Two sets of falls converge on this river-like stretch of Crooked Lake, a smaller one from the south and a larger one from the east. Paddlers should take the Canadian portage on the north side of the Basswood River for the best view of the falls. Yes, that's legal. Because you got to think that, okay, well, that's the Canadian side. Can you zip across? That's the U.S. side. Can I zip across? Yeah, it's legal. Granite cliffs near the falls offer plenty of great lunch spots. Please note that you cannot camp on the Canadian side unless you have a remote area border crossing permit. Those are the permits you were talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Be sure to leave time to paddle 1 mile north along the border to view an interesting set of pictographs. They are likely between 500 and 1,000 years old. Falls are most easily accessed along the two separate canoe routes. One is along the one is north along Echo Trail, and the other is east of Ely on Fernberg Road. The nearest entry points to get here is Mudrow Lake number 22 and Fall Lake number 24. Number five. Oh, there's certain names, and there's two of them here.
Yeah.
In this list, that there must be like a thousand of these around the world.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Devil's Cascade. Tell me you've never heard of something like that before. This cascade, one of the more unique features in the Boundary Waters, cuts between 80-foot cliffs along the Sioux River North. Large elevated campsite sits just above the cataract, offering sweeping views of the river valley to the north. While visitors should approach the edge of the cliffs with caution, they'll enjoy the soothing sound of rushing water beside an evening campfire. That'd be a nice spot to get. The campsite lies off of a short spur along the portage trail between Lower Bonus Lake and Sioux River. Overnight campers should collect water near the start of the trail, as there's no direct water access from the site. The Sioux Hustler hiking trail loops through this area of thick boreal forest. The cascade can be accessed along a canoe route north of Ely along the Echo Trail. And the nearest entry point is Sioux River North, number 14. That'd be pretty cool to see that one. 80-foot cliffs?
Every time you read one of these, I'm looking it up on the map. And so,
Take a Google when you're listening to this and check them out. There's some really nice ones. Johnson Falls. This stunning double set of falls rewards visitors who take the time to see both the upper and lower sections. Paddlers can complete the scenic route in a day, weather permitting. Depending on water levels, one or two pools near the falls offer great spots to swim. To reach the falls, paddlers cross four lakes and navigate several portage trails. A spur trail leading west from the southwestern portage on Pine Lake provides access to the falls. If you're traveling from Canoe Lake into Pine Lake, keep in mind that the portage is 1 mile long each way and hilly. And for our Canada friends that are listening to this, These are miles, not kilometers.
Yes. Yeah.
Nearest entry points, Grand Marais, Clearwater Lake number 62, East Bearskin Lake number 64. Rose Falls. Cedar trees and ferns frame these 30-foot falls with a picturesque wilderness charm. For those seeking a taste of the backcountry, this popular spot makes for an excellent day trip. Visitors can reach the falls in a few different ways. Day trippers can paddle to the falls on a 5-mile round trip route starting from Bearskin Lake, park on the gravel lot at the lake's west end, then paddle across Bearskin to a short 75-rod portage into Duncan Lake. From there, paddle north about a mile to the Stairway Portage, where you can leave your canoe near the start of the trail. Be sure to tie it off if it's windy or you're swimming back. Follow the trail a little ways north to the waterfall. Hikers can reach the fall via the Caribou Rock Trail, challenging but scenic 7.7-mile round trip. Backpackers traveling the border route trail will also pass by Rose Falls and should take the chance to rest and refill water while enjoying the view. So this is one of those ones you can get there anyway.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty close to Johnson Falls.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice that none of these say you can drive up to the falls. Nearest entry points, Duncan Lake number 60. And here's another one you've heard a million times.
Yes, I know.
Bridal Veil Falls. Cool air and mist surround the aptly named waterfall, where multiple streams cascade down 60 feet before crashing into a jumble of Precambrian bedrock. Depending on water levels, hikers can dip their feet into the cool, clear pools at the base. 7.7-mile round-trip hike along the Crab Lake Spur Trail is considered challenging, thanks to elevation changes and rugged wilderness. When the spur connects to the border route trail, follow it west to the next trail intersection, then hike north on the trail to reach the falls. Pay attention to the trail and follow directions carefully, as the area is not well marked. Because of its remote location, you might have the place to yourself. Which is always great when you get a waterfall.
I know.
Especially when doing photography.
Or fishing.
Or swimming. To access the trail, take Loon Lake Road off Gunflint Trail. That's one of their main trails.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the road past the dead end sign to a small national...
Go beyond the dead
just
end.
Just go beyond the dead end. Just keep on driving. Go around the trees. To a small national forest parking lot. Be sure not to park at Loon Lake Lodge, as some maps tend to lead people there. So don't trust your GPS. While the falls are just outside of the Boundary Waters boundary, you will still need a permit if you hike the Crab Lake Spur to Border Route Trail. Alternatively, paddlers can access this waterfall from Gunflint Lake, which is outside the wilderness boundary. Nearest entry points, Border Route Trail, East, number 83, and Gunflint Lake. No entry point or permit is required on the south side of the lake or trail.
Oh, there you go.
And those are your eight.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're planning a day trip or multi-day adventure, outfitters in the gateway communities of Ely, Toft, and Grand Marais rent motorboats, canoes, and a wide range of camping gear. They'll also provide maps and up-to-date route information to help you plan your adventure. You can find a list of most of these outfitters online.
Hmm. I do want to go. I don't know if I want to. I want to go from the Quetico side. And every time I suggest it, it's really hard to. It's a long drive from here to Quetico. Because it's going to be, we'd have to stop along the way, like Superior National Park, Superior Provincial Park.
If you don't drive straight, when we drive those routes, we spend the first night in Sault Ste. Marie or Wawa.
Yeah.
The second one in Thunder Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The third day you're there sort of deal. Or just drive 24 hours to Thunder Bay. Spend a night in Thunder Bay recouping and then the next day head in early.
I'll have the kids with me, so it's not going to be a straight...
Do they drive?
No, they don't.
Then leave the kids at home.
Stella can get her license in about 2 years. New driver, so, what could be the harm?
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Stella, you've had your license for a week. Let's go.
No, you need like a big van or something with a couple of canoes on top.
Yeah.
So people can sleep and switch driving.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what we did when we went to Woodland Caribou.
Yeah.
One person would sleep, the other person would drive, and then you just switch around.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That would work.
You just wake people up to see the exciting...
Exactly.
Exciting things.
Hey, 5 minutes ago, we saw a moose.
Right? No, but there's, you know, Kakabika Falls, you got to go see that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You stop in, you know, Thunder Bay, you got to see Terry Fox thing and whatnot.
We almost, what was it, when we did our five lakes in one day, 24 hours, remember the raccoon that stood up and stared at us as we almost ran him down?
Yes.
If we didn't hit him, we had to at least brush him.
Yeah, he's probably with his buddies. Did you see that? Did you see that? I stared him down.
He almost got me. I stared him down.
Turned at the last second. I did. It's like bullfighters.
Yeah.
Olé. I heard this little raccoon. Olé. All righty. Another place that's close, Michigan.
Just one state over.
That's not as far.
Not far as for us.
No.
But it is if you're from California.
Well, it is if you're from...
Timbuktu,
China. If you plan on hitting the water this summer, you should consider the Michigan Kayak Tours, recently named among the top 10 in the United States. Kayaking is an incredible way to explore the beautiful state of Michigan while getting quite a workout. It must be a very popular outdoor activity in the Mitten State, as Michigan has over 1,300 kayak boat launches.
The Mitten State?
The Mitten State.
Is it shaped like a mitten, or is it
Michigan
cold? Michigan
is shaped like a mitten.
Oh. I have to look at
the
map.
The UP?
Yeah. I'm going to pull that up on a map.
So there's two of them. Two out of the 10 most...
It is a mitten.
Yeah. Two of the 10 top kayaking tours are out of Michigan. Crystal River Outfitters in Glen Arbor, Michigan, named the second best kayak tour in Michigan and the 7th best in the U.S. They say probably because of the incredible wildlife. Throughout the 2 to 3 hour tours, you'll embark on a journey of adventure and wonderment with the chance... to spot a range of wildlife from bald eagles and blue herons to deer and otters.
Adventure and wonderment.
Ooh.
Somebody's using their big words for this article.
Right? I use big words that I don't know the meaning of just so that I can feel photosynthesis. The second one, Great Turtle Kayak Tours from Mackinac Island, Michigan, named the best kayak tour in Michigan and the 5th best in the U.S. The beauty is unmatched.
I would agree.
Paddle at sunrise to Arch Rock and the Rock Maze, watch the sunset from Devil's Kitchen, circumnavigate the island, or enjoy a challenging trip across the Straits of Mackinac to Round Island, Hiawatha National Forest.
Is it Mackinac or Mackinac?
I always know it's Mackinac.
That's what I hear, too, but then you see it spelled.
Yeah. I ain't hooked on phonics today. So the 10 best kayak tours in the United States. Number 10, Maine State Sea Kayak in Southwest Harbor, Maine.
Is this our best of episode? Is that what this
I'm thinking it's starting to be, isn't it?
Best of waterfalls,
best of waterfalls, kayak tours. Best of kayak tours. Number 9, Central Coast Kayaks, Pismo Beach, California. Number 8, Frank's Paddle Sports Livery, Indianapolis, India.
Indiana.
Yeah, there's an I in there. Number 7, Crystal River Outfitters, Glen Arbor, Michigan. 6, Tahoe Adventure Company, Tahoe Vista, California. Number 5, Great Turtle Kayak Tours, Mackinac Island, or Mackinac, depending on what you want, Michigan. Number 4, Desert River Outfitters, Bullhead City, Arizona. Number 3, Rising Tide Explorers in Naples, Florida. Number two, Amelia Island kayak excursions. I've heard of these ones. Yeah. Fernandina Beach, California. And the number one best kayak tour in the United States, Santa Barbara Adventure Company in Santa Barbara, California.
Ooh, California got twice.
Yeah. Hot diggity. California twice. Got three times.
Florida twice.
California is number nine and number six and number one.
There you go.
Florida's
well,
two and three.
You know, they've got the winning weather and the winning ocean. And it's a lot of nice stuff out
there. Fix.
The fix is in.
The fix is in.
This one I found interesting.
Right? It makes you want to go down there and do this. So whether you're new to paddling or a seasoned pro, if you're planning on hitting the water this summer, and you're in Indiana or are thinking of going to Indiana, the Indiana DNR, Department of Natural Resources, could use your help. Paddling is a popular hobby for many Hoosiers. And whether you prefer canoeing, kayaking, or riding on a paddleboard, there is a place for everyone to paddle. Indiana Department of Natural Resources has an interactive map that shows you places to paddle all across the state. Just Google Indiana DNR. And it brings you to their page.
Do not resuscitate.
Do not resuscitate.
Mm-hmm.
Brings you to their page, and there's a map there that shows you all the places you can paddle and all that sort of stuff. It's interactive, zoom in, zoom out, all that sort of stuff. According to the Indiana DNR, this map shows everything you need to plan a day on the water, including water gauges to display stream flow, public access sites, canoe and kayak outfitters, low head dam locations, and river miles are displayed on the map, which also includes the USGS water gauges that display real-time stream flow at stations across the state. Many people enjoy taking to the water as a fun and relaxing hobby, and now your hobby can help out the Indiana DNR track wildlife. When out on the water, it's inevitable that you're going to see wildlife. Yeah, just keep telling people that. And if you're going to
not always true.
Yeah, if you're going to see them anyway, you may as well report that data to the Indiana DNR. They're asking that paddlers volunteer to report wildlife sightings when going out on the water. The process is simple. If you're able to volunteer your time, they have postcards that they ask you to fill out. On the card, you will record what animals you come across. They're specifically looking for people to go paddling from June 1st to July 31st. And paddling is a great way to enjoy Indiana's natural beauties, observe wildlife, and connect with nature. Now, they do something like this in Algonquin every year with the fish.
Yes.
You get a little thingy. They give you cheap little measuring tape.
Yep.
a little card where you can write what lake you were fishing, the times you were fishing, the fish you caught, the size, like length, girth, mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. They put that with the card, a small pencil, and the measuring tape in a little plastic baggie. And then you take that, you put it in your tackle box or whatever. And when you're out fishing on your trips in the backcountry and stuff, if you catch something, you just write all that sort of stuff down. Then you take it back, and they at the end of the summer, I think usually closer to spring the following year, they have all the results tabulated from mm-hmm. the cards people put in and say this is what everybody's noted. And
it gives them an idea of what fish stocks are like on various mm-hmm. lakes and rivers and creeks in Algonquin. And
so they know which ones they can stock up against.
Yeah, if they have to restock or, if, you know, it's good to know if somebody's pulling too many of certain fish out, right?
Right.
So
Indiana paddlers have a unique opportunity to observe wildlife while enjoying Indiana's countless water resources. And they want more information about the wildlife that spend time around those waterways. The Indiana Paddlecraft Wildlife Index compiles wildlife observations from people who use canoes, kayaks, and other non-motorized paddlecraft on Indiana's waterways. Volunteer paddlers can help by completing a paddling trip postcard documenting the wildlife they're observing while floating from June 1st to July 31st. There are several animals in the DNR is asking folks to report to them during wildlife observations while paddling. They've selected some key species that are either challenging to study or are lacking Indiana-specific information. Species selected are also those paddlers may be able to easily identify. I noticed on the list, fish isn't one of them.
No,
I'm studying the fish closely. Brought a few samples home.
Yeah.
The animals include bald eagle, Blanding's turtle, beaver, great blue heron, great egret, kingfisher, mink, muskrat, osprey, painted turtle, a red-eared slider, and a river otter. Red-eared slider, I believe, is a salamander thing.
Oh,
is it
okay.
Not? The, salamander or a snake?
I was going to say that's the only one I had never heard of before.
Yeah, it's either a I want to say it's this. Do snakes have ears? little ear sticking out the side of her head. Not a goofy looking snake. I want to say it's a salamander type lizard thingy.
It's a reptile.
It's a reptile. Well, are salamanders not amphibians?
There's a red-eared slider.
Oh, yeah.
It's a colorful turtle.
It's a turtle. It's a turtle lizard.
Yes. It's got
a red-eared slider's a turtle. I thought it was a salamander.
A lot of blue banding on its shell with pinks or yellow spots, and it's got red ears.
Well, maybe that's why I've never found a red-eared slider, because I've been looking for lizards all my years, or snakes with big ears on their sides.
I've never seen one of these before.
Yeah. Well, it's because they are challenging to study and hard to find.
Here's a better shot of it. From above.
Okay, so the side of the head has big red streak.
Red streaks. He's fast. That's why.
Red ear.
He's got red, red
racing stripe.
Red racing stripes
across his head.
Across his head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. He doesn't look any different except for the red strips.
Right.
From a lot of turtles I've seen. Trachymes scripta elegans.
Fancy. Is that Latin for red-eared slider?
It's the Latin name. I don't think it directly translates. They don't have
it. So all the information will be put into the Paddlecraft Wildlife Index, which will help wildlife managers to estimate changes in populations over time. This program with paddlers will also help give the DNR insight into potentially finding new locations where these wildlife populations are living. If you're interested, you can check out all the volunteer information through the Indiana DNR. So again, just Google the Indiana DNR and it'll bring you right to their page and you can find out all the information you want.
If you're traveling with kids, if you're camping and hiking and canoeing with kids, it's a great little thing to, hey kids, just write down everything you see. Okay, we saw a moose, kids, write the moose down.
Well,
they don't want to hear about moose. Well, we're going to tell them anyways.
Just tell them everything you saw.
Exactly.
Algonquin Park, when you go to the visitor center, there's a big sign right at the entrance in the big main lobby there.
Yeah.
And people write all the animals they've seen. Like mile 52 or whatever saw two moose on the side of the road.
Bear in garbage can at Mew Lake.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool. So if you're, like I say, if you're going to Indiana, pick up a card. And or print it off and write down what you find, what you see. Doesn't hurt. I mean, we do it all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Where the only thing we're not doing is reporting. Writing down.
Yeah.
We're sure it's probably taking pictures of whatever we're seeing. We're just not writing it down.
Yeah.
So do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Go to Indiana. Paddle. Look at animals. Write it down. Send it in. Do it.
The neat thing about Algonquin is if you're on the east side from Cedar down south to Opiongo, chances are you're going to see a military aircraft cruising overhead.
Oh, yes.
It's not too often in the summer. I've been in Algonquin up on that side of the park, and I haven't seen like a C-130 or...
Yeah, search and rescue from Trenton and all that, too.
Yeah, right? Because they're flying over the park all the time just for training flights, right?
Yeah.
Getting their hours in.
All righty. You got anything else?
I do not.
Not too much happening.
No, we can say what we have had beer tonight. So Tilted Glass out of Bowmanville. It's called Reminisce. It's a wine barrel aged imperial stout.
Mm-hmm. And you know what this is? This and that. They're the last two cans in the beer fridge.
Oh, are you hinting I got to go pick up beer?
Not at all. Go pick up beer. not at all.
Good to know. I was going to ask that anyways.
So Because if you don't pick up beer, we're drinking scotch next week.
Does it usually last like a couple of months, like 2 months every time I buy beer?
And you bought beer last when?
I don't know. It's a long time ago.
Like February?
Mm-hmm.
March?
You,
April?
No.
That's 2 months.
Well, you had supplied some in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
I got to get by that place in...
Oh, the old Rippers.
Yeah. Yes, the old Rippers. Oshawa Curtis there on the border.
They turned an old strip club into...
A... What is it?
Microbrewery or something?
Stuttering John's. So it's a barbecue and a microbrew.
Yeah. Barbecue and microbrew.
There you go. They pair well.
They pair well.
Yeah. Well, it's I've been trying to get in, but their winter hours are very limited. But now that we're coming into spring, summer, maybe their hours would be a little bit more conducive to me stopping by and grabbing
like
something.
A weekend? When you're not at work, for instance? just throwing that out there. When's the best place to go somewhere? When I'm not working. Oh.
The weekend, you say.
The weekend, you say. I never thought of that. Is my face red?
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to stop in on the way here to grab some. Because my weekends are pretty busy, doing nothing.
Tell me about it. We're planning trips now.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
So are we. We are too.
Just to give you a bit of a heads up, Derek's away for 3 weeks in July.
Yep.
I'm away for 3 weeks in August.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 3 weeks in July, I think we can cover with guest hosts. And 1 to 2 weeks, I think we can get away with in August.
Yeah, because nobody knows how to use your equipment.
No,
If we pre-record.
Yeah, and I'm mm-hmm. hoping while I'm in Japan, maybe I can get some recording done.
Could you upload from there?
I can upload from anywhere.
Well, it depends on... We'll have
Wi-Fi.
Ariana would have Wi-Fi.
I'll have everything on my laptop here to do it.
Perfect. That'd be awesome.
And then I could just, coming live from...
Yeah, it'll be one of the few
downtown
episodes.
Downtown Japan.
It'll be one of the few episodes I ever listen to.
Right? If Derek's listening to this, close your ears. This is only for the other people.
Well, I'm always here for recording, so I don't need to listen.
Right? Don't you listen to your own show? Why would I?
Exactly.
We talked in it.
I was there,
and I don't remember what happened. Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.